welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So I do have a bit of video I was going to show the folks.
What, is this the pizza guy?
Yes. They delivered a pizza?
I have the pizza guy. You have an issue with this?
No, it's just that Frank and I know Del Kabuki and that...
What is that?
Del Kabuki, and he has a pizza place that is near the Kodak Theater. And I just thought it was cheap. That's all. I thought it was very cheap of Ellen DeGeneres to use her celebrity and her massive influence at the Academy Awards to stoke the business, if you will, or prop, as you say, the business of one individual over another.
Well, why would she want to... You know, who's this Del Kabuki? Is that his name?
I'm sorry.
Because you told me it was something else.
Yeah, Kabuki, and I was thinking of Kabuki Theater. I was reading up on Kabuki Theater because I've got an interest in that.
What about Kabuki Theater?
I'll talk about that in a moment, bud. Kanukian or Kanagian. It's one of the Armenian names.
And he's a family friend.
Yes, he is, Phil. You don't have to make an issue over the fact that we don't know his last name. We've made a joke about Del and Grace's last name for years. No one can get their last name because it's so utterly unnecessarily...
Well, it is their last name, Margaret. And we do have a great many Armenians in California.
Yeah, a lot of Armenian, like, what's his name? Kardashian, you know.
What's his name, Kardashian?
Well, how about George Duke Majan? So anyway, forget about the last name. What's the story?
Well, what's the story? She uses her celebrity to prop this guy with the pizza parlor, and Del Kabukian, or whatever his name is. I'm sorry. Can you look it up, bud?
Yeah, I'm looking up Kalukian. I'll find it.
Thank you. They were given short shrift, and I find it very offensive.
Does she know them?
Does she know who?
Does she know this Del and this Grace?
No, she does not. That's not the point. Not the point.
All right. Let me go ahead and bring this up then. This is the gentleman who was speaking to, I guess he was talking to the E Media. He was talking to a reporter from E. And as a matter of fact, you know what I don't have is, I guess we can't hear this audio, can we? I should have brought this up on a different computer, but we were playing this for the audience earlier, and they were, this chap was talking about the fact that apparently Ellen uses his pizza parlor quite often, and in so using his pizza parlor, they were, you know, they've done a lot of business with her. And this business over the course of time has gotten them to, you know, kind of get her weird, strange ways. And here is the guy here talking.
From the bowls of cereal you make.
No, that's not the guy talking right there.
That's a commercial.
That's the guy talking, huh?
No, that's a commercial for the bowls of cereal.
Almond brace.
Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn this off. And okay. So people can at least see the guy.
Ellen DeGeneres, you know, she is our regular customer.
This is the guy here.
And we've been getting orders from her at the Burbank studio. And then apparently, you know, that was quite a surprise to us, as a matter of fact, you know. And my daughter called me last night, and she said,
"Is this going to go on and on and on?
Are you watching TV?
Do you mind if we listen?"
I said, "No, I was working
Margaret,
I'd like
to hear that,
you know."
It's going
and she
to
said,
go on
well,
and
turn
on
the television on, you know, because, you know, you guys are delivering pizza to the Oscar.
Big
I said,
deal.
"What?" He said, "Yeah, delivering to the Oscar, you
big
know."
Big deal.
I said, "What are you talking about, you know?"
Big
and
deal.
I turned the television on, and
Margaret,
I see, you know,
come
one
on.
Of our guys, one of our franchises, you know, that located, you know, in Hollywood area on Sunset Boulevard, which is almost walking distance from where the event was happening. And I see the guy, Edgar. I know him very well.
Yeah, let the guy have a chance to do his pizza.
I can't believe that, you know. This guy is delivering pizza on the stage of the Oscar, you know. And it was quite exciting. It was quite amazing, you know.
Del Keldakian is his name.
Even talking, you know, I said, what's going on here, you know. We are not even aware of that. It was quite a surprise, you know.
Blah, 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 blah.
It was a very pleasant surprise.
Well, if you don't like it, Margaret, why don't you get up and go and have yourself...
They ordered, as far as what I saw three boxes of pizzas, you know. And apparently
Hold
one
on.
Of them wedgie.
Margaret,
know,
I don't think it's polite of you to be interrupting.
I'm not trying to interrupt. I didn't know you were going to let this man give a speech.
This is the audio from the interview that was done by the E! Channel, right, Robert?
Yeah, this is ETV. They interviewed this man. Oscar Pizza Party owner had no idea about special order.
I know what he's saying. He's pretending like he's surprised. Del Keldakian and his wife, Grace, have been dear friends of ours for years.
Yeah, so good friend, you'd think their last name is Kadakian or something.
I said, is this guy going to be allowed to give me a hard time because I...
Hey, wait a minute. You were messing his name up.
Who, Buds?
No, this friend of yours.
You couldn't get the guy's name right, Margaret.
I was having a difficult time because the guy's an Armenian.
Margaret.
The guy's an Armenian. All right. Now, if you'll pardon me, I'm going to go into the bathroom and dump.
God, what a child.
That is so childish, Margaret.
Why?
No, it just, what a child.
Why do you call that her a child?
That's what a child does. When a child can't get their way, they disrupt, they emote in inappropriate ways.
Don't talk about me like I'm not there.
Yes, we will, Margaret. And then closes the whole thing out with an entirely inappropriate and offensive remark like that. So...
Talking, you know, that's something, saying things like that on the air. And I recognize, Phil, that when the 15th comes, there will be no protection for people such as myself who have had a traditional relationship with media. I'll have no protection at all. In other words, I will be inundated with this.
Well, it's not like it's going to be some horrible assault.
Well, that's easy for you to say. When you say it's not a horrible... I'm going to sit here and listen to her talk about having to take a...
You don't have to... Listen, if Margaret is going to insist on behaving that way, it reflects on her.
All right, I can't even have a decent bowel movement. What are you talking about?
Margaret, why don't you...
Yeah, go finish what you're doing.
Because I'm listening to you, swine... Talking about, yes, that's right, I said swine, Phil.
Well, that's what you think about us. You know, all I wanted to do was listen to what this guy had to say.
Yes.
Well, what, are you crying?
Well, I feel as if I'm being ganged up.
Margaret, no one's trying to gang up on you. We wanted to hear what the man said.
And what about Del Keldakian?
Del and his wife, Grace, I'm sure, are fine people. They got a pizza parlor. We can plug the hell out of it. You know.
Well, it's not the same...
I know it's not the same thing as Ellen DeGeneres. What do you want from me? You know?
Why are you playing?
Margaret, don't start bawling because your friends didn't get equal time on the Oscars last night. She eats her pizza out of this guy, this Big Mama's pizza.
Oh, great. Say his name again. Why don't you go and say something like this? Gee, I'm really sorry, Margaret, that this man at BigMamasPizza.com, order online and save, restaurant food in a box.
All right.
That's what you're doing.
Well, I'm going to be talking about things that are newsworthy. This chap is newsworthy, if only for the reason that I didn't even see it happen, because I have to be perfectly honest with you, and this is embarrassing, I didn't even know the Oscars were on last night.
What?
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
You didn't know they were on?
No.
Yeah, but I had to remember. Finally, somebody said to me, you watch the Oscars. I said, no, I'm not. But I had to turn them on.
I totally spaced. I didn't know the Oscars were on last night. Man, the Oscars used to be on like the end of... I've lost track of them. And so I'm on Twitter, and I was tweeting something, and I saw everybody else. It was as if I was the only guy standing in line to see Lifeguard that time, and everybody else was seeing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you know?
Yeah, whatever.
That story you told?
Yeah, it was an old story. So last night I'm, what? And so I you know, flipped on the Oscars kind of late. And I'd seen all these pizza tweets, which I had no idea, but I guess that's what she did. She delivered pizza. But this chap's name is Wayne Grigorian.
See, he's Armenian, isn't he?
Yes, he is. You know.
What are you giving me the bug-eyed look for, Phil? He's an Armenian.
I know he's an Armenian, but the fact is, so is your friend Del Kelbukian or whatever.
The name is Del Kadukian, and yes, he is Armenian with his wife, Grace.
He's Armenian with his wife. What about when he's not with her?
Wow, that's... God, that... Boy, that...
Okay. Nice one, bud. You really laid an egg there. We'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show with more of this drivel.
You can say that again.
More of this drivel.
You can say that again.
More of this drivel.
Gonna keep doing it.
I guess you don't like this guy, Wayne Grigorian, but you do like Dale and Grace Kelbukian?
Kelbukian. It doesn't matter. It could be Kelbukian.
In any event, in what could be the opening scene to a science fiction movie, French scientists have thawed and reactivated, a 30,000-year-old virus from the Siberian permafrost.
Shut it out!
Bud's all afraid that it's some kind of a ghoul. You think it's a ghoul virus, huh?
I don't know what it is. It's scary, though.
Yeah, it's scary. We're going to find out whether it's scary or not. And we'll talk more about Del Keldukian and Wayne Gregorian and the rest of the very, very Italian pizza parlor owners here in the Southern California area when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is, well, it doesn't matter what our number is because we're changing our number in a few days.
We are?
I think so. Either that or we're gonna get rid of it. Hey, what happened to the music around here, man? We got no more music? Okay. It's world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And don't forget, we are online and mobile at philhendryshow.com. We're online and mobile at TuneIn. That's TuneIn. So you can check us out there as well. And whatever you do, don't forget to stop by our online store. The Rudy Canosa Je T'aime Lingerie t-shirt is in the pink ladies' tee. And all of our downloads and all of our collectibles and just all of our The Phil Hendry Show. All right, it's the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Why are you doing all of those?
We have, as I mentioned, a TriCam. We got a new TriCaster. That's a video computer. I apologize, folks. I take pride in running a much tighter show. But we do have a new video computer, and so things are not where they used to be. And it's kind of like driving a new car, you know, where you're used to things. So I got to adjust the seat. This is a different setup. So that's why you see me looking confused.
Well, you don't. You reached over, and then you reached toward Margaret.
I'm sorry, Phil, but I'm not making a big deal. I know it was a mistake. But when you reached over toward where the general was sitting, and then when you reached in my direction, your hand went down.
Yeah, it looked like, you know.
Well, I'll do it, Bud. Your hand looked as if you were reaching for between my knees. Now, I know you weren't really.
Yes, that's right. I wasn't.
Oh, my God. Well, you don't have to emphasize it like it's a disgusting thought.
Well, Margaret, which is it? You want to do it or not?
Of course I don't want him to do it. I'm saying I was stunned for a moment. I got frightened.
You got frightened of what? You thought I was reaching between your legs?
Oh, well, look at you. Yes. Women have got to be careful, and I know there's a lot of women out there that know what I'm talking about. Would you be quiet, Bud?
Yeah, you're making a big deal.
Would you be quiet, Bud?
Come on, Bud, let her finish. Give her enough rope, she'll hang herself.
And don't talk about me, General, like I'm not here.
I'm not. I'm talking about you like you are here.
Give her enough rope and she'll hang herself.
What is your point, Margaret?
My point is, very, very clearly, there are women that know what I'm talking. From now on, I'm just going to assume that women know what I'm saying, so I won't get paranoid about the way you guys are looking at me. Phil Hendry reached between my knees. I know he didn't mean to. Didn't think a computer was there, did you?
No, Margaret. First of all, I didn't reach between your knees. I reached and you were in the way. You usually sit there and you had moved over here.
I was looking at something.
Great. So when I went to reach, I didn't know you were there. My hand didn't go between your knees. It brushed one of your knees as I reached over to get that keyboard there.
So I'm a liar?
No, you're not a liar.
Margaret, no one's calling you a liar, for God's sake. Every move a man makes isn't so he can get a cheap feel on your...
Well, just be careful.
Of course. Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Just don't get it.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of women are more and more concerned these days, Phil, about that kind of so-called inordinate move. I know you didn't mean it, but some guy that sits in that chair tomorrow night, some creep, because you may be sick, and you have some slob come in here, and he pulls a slob move, what do you think? Don't look at them. They can't help you now.
Don't look at them. I think that he would be, he would not be a good guy to have filling in.
Exactly.
No, but Bob, you gotta let go of it, man, until Mr. Hendry does what he says what he wants.
What?
Till Mr. Hendry say what you want him to.
Till Mr. Hendry say what I want him to, yes.
All right. No, that's not the case, Robert. However, I'm more than happy to give in on that point just so we can move this bloody show forward.
What language?
Well, that's it, and that's how I'm feeling right now. You know, I was in a pretty good mood when we started the show here, albeit with, you know, all kinds of distractions here mechanically, so I really don't want to get further distracted with you telling me that I was reaching between your knees when I was actually going...
Look at him laugh. It's just,
Well, the idea, Margaret, is pretty absurd, and I think you ought to let go of it, for God's sake.
General...
Let go of it, for God's sake. If we were in the middle of a battle, if we were in combat right now...
Well, you're not in combat.
Well, if we were in combat right now, and you were some lover taken off over a hill with all the medical supplies, I'd put one in your back.
God, you're a way to do it, Jerry!
Thank you.
What a...
All right, okay. The point is made. I think the general got the last word on that.
Yeah, sure.
In what could be the opening scene to a science fiction movie, you'd put
one in my back.
That's right. Some lover taken off over the hill with all the medical supplies.
I'd put one in your back. And what does that mean?
It doesn't mean...
Yeah, it doesn't mean back door.
But you dirt...
Hey, take your hands off of him. God.
Ow, I hurt.
I barely touched him.
Come on, bud.
In what could be the opening scene to...
What's so funny?
I put one in her back.
Oh, so you do get the double entendre.
No, I just... General, I don't know where you got the... She's some lover.
I think he's quoting Dirty Dozen.
I am quoting Dirty Dozen when Charles Bronson said the reason why Charles Bronson was in prison was because some lover took off with the medical supplies.
All right.
Excuse me.
It's okay. In what could be the opening scene to a science fiction movie, French scientists have thawed and reactivated a 30,000-year-old virus from the Siberian permafrost. Man, that is something right out of a sci-fi.
Don, you see a science fiction movie, man. They're bringing up some creature.
Yeah, they'll get a creature from below the frost.
Well, luckily, this pitovirus only attacks amoebas, but researchers warn that as exploration and development of the polar region increases, it is possible that we may come across potentially harmful pathogens and viruses that have been frozen for millennia. In a report published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, this team, led by Chantal Aubergel of Aix-Marseille University and Jean-Claude Claverie, used amoebas to draw out the virus from the permafrost and then filmed its entire life cycle, as shown in the video. And we did show the video before the show. If you missed it, too bad for you. I'm kidding. We can show it again.
Yeah, show the virus. Show the permafrost virus.
Right.
Are you going to show it?
I'm going to show it, Margaret.
Well, I think that a lot of people would like to know. I'm a mother, and a lot of women are very, very frightened of these vaccines. Now, if you're going to show some kind of some super virus or permafrost virus, whereby we may want to get our children inoculated, I don't know.
Margaret, there's no vaccination for the permafrost virus.
They don't even need to have a vaccination yet for any permafrost virus because they don't know that it is harmful. In fact, they know it's not harmful. It's a virus that amoebas get, okay?
What?
It's a virus that an amoeba gets. It's not a virus that human beings get. The pitovirus measures 1.5 micrometers long and 0.5 micrometers wide, making it the largest known virus in the world. Wow. 30% bigger than the previous record holder, the pandovirus.
That one that strikes a panda?
No, yeah, or a pando.
Yes, I would say. Well, there's no pando, is there, Phil? What are the bears and that eat bamboo? Pando?
Pandas. No, it's nothing to do with pandas. A pandovirus is some kind of a virus. I don't know which kind. But it's interesting. It's 30% bigger. Everything was bigger back then. Dinosaurs, you know.
Yeah, birds is bigger, and amoeba too. Even a panda virus.
Not a panda virus, man. Pandovirus.
It's actually, I mispronounced, it's a Pandora. P-A-N-D-O-R-A. Pandora virus. Pandora virus.
Well, that is a computer virus, I thought.
No, that was another kind of virus. There's been all kinds of computer virus. It's not a computer virus.
I know it. Well, it can't be a computer virus.
There's no computer viruses in the permafrost. Wow. Wow.
I know that, General. I know. Do you really think there was a panda virus in the permafrost that affects computers? Hoo-hoo! get you.
Well, you're the one that started going down that lonely dirt road.
And I'll thank you not to use the term dirt road.
What is up with you tonight, Margaret?
Yeah, I want to know that, too.
Why are you looking at me?
From the very beginning of this show, man, you've been all over this Wayne Gregorian pizza guy, your friends Del and Grace Kabukian.
Keldukian.
Now you think there's a panda virus that is in the permafrost, but hey, it could affect the, whatever the hell you want to call it, the computers. And should we get a vaccination for our kids? And,
yeah, go ahead. Keep making things up.
Stop making it up, Ms. Gray. He said everything's a truth.
We're going to be right back on the Phil Henry Show, maybe. That is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
I want to say, first of all, I'm sorry if I did come on too strong at the beginning of the program.
Sorry, Margaret.
And I think Nikki watching Scarface is absolutely wonderful. I like it when women involve themselves in cinema, even if it is one of the more violent gangster films of the genre. That she's watching it now while she should be paying attention to your show, I'll let that go.
Wait. That's not for you to judge. She's keeping tracks of the movie. She's keeping track of the movie, you know.
Yes, we know what's going on in it.
Yeah, but I don't want to watch it because I'm not interested in looking at some Mariel Boatlift scum making good in America. Although he does get machine gunned in the film, I at the same time am interested in what Nikki's read on this film is, and so forth. You know.
That's very interesting. I think what you're saying is you're just scared of the violence.
Yeah, that's right. I'm deathly afraid of the Hollywood violence. I'm a war veteran. I've seen it all. I've done it all. I've been there and back.
You've done it all?
Yes, and I wouldn't bring it. Some of the things I've done and seen, some of the places I've been, I wouldn't bring up in mixed company.
Well, that means because Bud's here.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, it's real funny, Miss Gray. Probably the stuff that the general has to say will make you throw up. And you go, you know, everything.
Oh, quit trying to be funny, Bud. You're really laying an egg. Phil told you already.
All right, let's everybody stop trying to do the comedy routines here tonight, okay? Are you serious, Margaret, that the general is afraid of the violence of the movie?
No, I'm giving him a hard time, but I'm simply saying that it is refreshing for a woman such as Nikki to be watching a film like that. I think more of us should, as females, look at those kinds of movies. What's he doing?
I'm falling asleep. Listen to this thing.
Screw all of you.
Margaret, you know what? You're one of the best when it comes to acting like you're bored.
Catherine Bigelow, let me just say that.
She's a great director. Catherine Bigelow has made arguably the greatest war movie ever made in Hurt Locker. Now, I know there's a lot of people. We all have our different points of view, but it seems to me there's two kinds of war movies. There's the war movie that's about the actual war, the guns and the bombs and the tanks and the operation and the battle and the moment of the engagement between these armies, and then there's the war film that's about the soldiers that are involved in it. And Hurt Locker is one of the best that I've ever seen in my life.
What about Saving Private Ryan? What about that?
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a brilliant movie. No question about it. But maybe it's because Hurt Locker is about a more contemporary times. It's a uniquely American film. The other movie that is the most violent and frightening that I think I've ever seen, but also probably right up there with Hurt Locker, is the movie I told everybody about, Lebanon, which was made in Israel a few years ago, and it's a stark, frightening movie.
Now, this takes place in a tank.
The entire movie takes place from the perspective of the soldiers inside of a tank as they're moving into southern Lebanon during Israel's incursion into Lebanon following the Hezbollah rocket attacks. I'm trying to remember which period of time. It was the 80s. But the film is what do they call it? Sometimes they'll say a film is a shattering experience. It's a pretty shattering experience.
But any getting back to Nikki's, and another movie you should watch, Nikki, is... Never mind.
Well, what's...
You're talking about war films in Lebanon.
Yeah, it does kind of put all that other stuff into perspective. All right. So getting back here to this frost virus, Dr. Ron Tarner joins us from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in the great state of Colorado. And Dr. Tarner is going to tell us a little bit about what this virus is and perhaps what we can expect from scientists in the days and the weeks to come in terms of their commentary or their research on that. Dr. Tarner, how are you?
Well, Phil, I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good. What can you tell us about this virus?
Well, Phil, it is a Siberian, a giant virus from the Siberian permafrost. It is called a pithovirus. It only attacks amoebas, as you mentioned. The big fear is that as we explore more this region of the world, where there is so much organic life, quite possibly embedded in this ice, very deep ice, ice that has outlasted many cities, many centuries, many civilizations, ice that goes back almost to the very beginning of our planet. This is a place that could be an incubator for, albeit more of a deep freeze kind of an incubator for life that would be threatening to life on this planet. What could happen? I don't know. I'm not a prognosticator. But I concur 100% with the researchers that take that point of view.
Now, isn't it possible, Dr. Tarner, that many of those researchers are just plain jealous of the French doctors that made this discovery?
Well, that's a good point, Doctor. This is General Tarner, and I was thinking just that these French doctors have come upon something that's a lot of sour grapes, and a lot of these other doctors are poo-pooing it. You know, and they're saying, oh, we could be attacked by a giant creature or something.
Well, no one is saying being attacked by a giant creature. I haven't heard that, but I'm going to go you one better. Instead of a giant creature attacking us, how about a disease that could potentially put millions at risk? That's what we have to warn the governments of the world. That's what we have to warn the health professionals of the world about. What is the likelihood of it? I don't know. Is it 100%? Is it 50%? Is it 70%? I don't know. Based upon the films that I've seen, the science fiction films that I've seen, if I allow myself to get, if I allow my imagination to run away with me, there's a lot of things that we could find under the ice.
Such as?
Yeah, like what? Like in The Thing?
Well, the young man there, Bud, said the word The Thing was a film that came out in the 50s.
Well, you don't think The Thing is anything that approaches reality, do you?
Well, the film that came out in the 50s and in the early 80s with Kurt Russell, which was a far better remake, as long as you people were talking about films.
We don't like the use of the term "you people." I'm sorry, Doctor, to interrupt you.
All right.
What are you saying, Tarner? Are you saying that we've got a problem, a potential problem that has to do with alien life?
If you want to a science fiction scenario, if you want to begin to consider a science fiction scenario, why not consider an alien life form that has remained frozen under the permafrost for a number of years? Now, in the film The Thing, of the alien craft landed and was there for only a few days, I think, before they finally sent an expedition to the North Pole to uncover it. But you will remember War of the Worlds, at least the version as envisioned by Steven Spielberg. There was an alien life form sitting under the streets of Long Island for centuries.
How is it that we're talking about this? I just want to know. You know, I mean, it's all very, very interesting.
Well, these are things to consider.
Now, I know, but it's all very interesting. But I want to just know about this virus. And I'm not even talking about it in terms of being a threat to humanity. I just think it's fascinating as hell to find a living or an organic life form that 30,000 years old. That's got to be the oldest thing that we've ever found. I mean, not the oldest thing, but the oldest form of life.
To the extent that this virus was reanimated and was able to resume its life cycle, yes. We have not been able to do that with any other form of life other than microbe life. And when I say microbe life, I mean microbe, virus, bacteria, this, but not any kind of organic life that we know of, the higher lives, the higher forms of lives, the higher level of the live, or the live, of the life. not any four-legged creature. Or two-legged creature.
Well, what are the scientific terms for that? When you say it's not a microbe form of life, what is it?
Well, the scientific terms, those are big words that I try to avoid using. The actual word would be a big word that I would not want to use because it would be unpronounceable for you. But what I mean is any life that is bigger, any life that has four legs and walks around.
Well, what about if it swims?
What about if it what?
If it swims, if it's...
You're talking about undersea life.
Yeah, aquatic life, marine life.
Yes, we're talking about marine life.
Marine life, well, if it swims or walks, and it doesn't have to think, we haven't been able to reanimate from the permafrost any creature that walks or swims or has two eyes and a nose, you know?
And I guess the question is, what do you call that? So if you're saying...
I don't want to use the big words, I told you.
Let's just use the big words.
I don't know what they are right now. If it's all right with you, I'll go ahead and communicate on a level that I think is more comfortable. If that's all right with you.
Well, I mean, Dr. Tarter, we're simply trying to...
If that's all right with you, that's the only question.
We're simply trying to be as literate as we can.
It's all right, Dr. Tarter. I think I get it.
No, I don't think... If where you're going is I don't know, I'm not educated.
Well, it seems like you're not educated to those words. Talking about, well, if it isn't a microbe or microbiotic life, are you talking about something that walks around and has a nose and eyes?
Yes, I think that's a way of describing life, higher life, that everyone will understand, including little children. And you would be surprised the number of schools and small classrooms and large classrooms and lower grades and higher grades of people, of kids in the elementary and grammar school levels that I have to speak to.
All right. I tell you what, Doc, hold the line. We'll get back to you and continue discussing with Dr. Ron Tarter the virus found in the Arctic ice. 30,000 years old, man. I mean, that is a... That's an old one, and I'd say that's an old virus. Be a hell of an old virus to get, huh?
Well, I mean, for God's sake, what the hell do you, you know, how do you knock that one out?
Yes, what kind of NyQuil takes care of that? Oh, give me a break, will you?
No, that was good. Only NyQuil's not for a virus, it's for, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Pain in the ass.
No, I'm not. Hey, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Dr. Ron Tarter on the line with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And I suppose it's only fair to let people know that that's an observatory, obviously. And we're talking to you about a virus.
Well, this is the interesting part of this. If I could...
Hold on, Margaret, if you wouldn't mind.
Wave a piece of paper.
I'll answer the question before you answer it, Philip, if I might.
All right.
I've been dabbling in every kind of science for a long time, and this is just one area of science that I'm interested in. Astronomy is one, and this is where I make my living, but the study of protoviruses, antediluvian life, and so forth, primordial life, prehistoric life has always been fascinating to me, and I've attended a great many conferences on this. I'm only going to give you the scientific reaction to what has been happening, and that is that the science community is fascinated, and people such as myself bringing up the potential dangers are being laughed at. But I'm not. This is something that I'm used to, and something that I will continue to have to deal with.
Get a lot of people laugh at you, Doctor?
A great many people. When you are isolated because you don't find the scientific brain trust, scientific hierarchy, the pantheon of scientists, when you don't kowtow...
Well, this is what we get into a lot with you.
Basically, I just wanted to finish what I was saying, Margaret, that I'd be happy to entertain any questions you have. When you don't kowtow to the pantheon of scientists that I'm asked to kowtow to, I'll say the name so we can just get it out of the way, Dr. Stephen Hawking.
Well, there we go, you know.
Hold on. When you don't kowtow to the Stephen Hawkings and the rest of the pantheon of scientists, well, then you're laughed at and you're called names and you're considered to be you know, on the outside, an outcast, someone that's not trustworthy, someone who's not to be believed, and so on. I just say that there are bigger things at work here.
But when you started out on the show, it didn't sound to us like you thought that this virus posed any threat.
Well, I don't think it does. I just want an open and honest discussion of what else is down there.
And you think what's down there is on a level of the thing?
No, I don't. I'm a scientist. I'm not a movie critic. The thing is a movie. But if you want something that people can readily relate to, if I'm talking to a bunch of people that are lay people that don't understand me or what I'm trying to say, because I travel some 15,000 miles in a 6-month period every year to alert the public and educate the public and inform the public as to different scientific matters. And I'm always looking for that allegory or the metaphor or the comparison. How can I get through to my audience tonight? How can I get through to an auditorium filled with people who really just spent the previous 8 hours in a world that is so foreign to me, something that I left far behind me as a young man? I want no part of the farmlands and the drugstores and the gas stations that these people have buried themselves in, and now they come to an auditorium and they stare at me like I'm a guy coming into their gas station and asking for a free gallon of gas. Oh, I'm not. I'm the guy coming to them and saying, don't light that cigarette next to that pump. And yet there they are with a 3-pack-a-day habit. So this is...
Well, you're saying that the audiences you're trying to communicate with are not hearing you.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that they're not hearing you. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, that's good. That was very funny.
I think the general is right. What we're hearing here is that you are... It's a fruitless... It's a thankless job. It's not a fruitful job.
It's a fruitless... It's fruitless. It's thankless, fruitless. It's not fruitful. I think the word fruit. Get on. Anything having to do with a fruit. I'm telling you, that's how I feel tonight. And that's how I feel about hockey, too.
Well, this is getting a little personal.
All right. We're talking here with Dr. Ron Tarner on the protovirus, or not a protovirus, the permafrost virus that was discovered in the Arctic Circle. Scientists are saying there's no threat. It's a very interesting virus that attacks amoebas. It's a 30,000-year-old virus. It is older than, I think, the previous older virus, which was called the Pandora virus. What do you know about that?
I don't know much about the Pandora virus because there is a scientific blockade, embargo of information against some of us that, quite frankly, we don't understand. So I'm left to going into the hinterlands every year and talking to auditoriums filled with people who look hopeful, but in their baseball caps and their sort of people who will look at you in baseball caps, and there's a little bit of dirt around the collar, but they put on their best shirt. Their ears are big, maybe bigger than they should be for their heads. This is what you're looking at. It's not difficult, Phil, to imagine what may be laying under the frost of the North Pole when you look out into an audience full of people who have just come from the gas station, their best shirt, their best pants, but there's still grease under their nails, and ears that are way outsized for their heads.
I don't understand what this means. This is starting to bother. What are you talking about, ears outsized for their heads?
I'm saying...
But it sounds like a very elitist argument.
No, it's not elitist at all. I'm the one. Are you out there? I don't think you are. I'm the one.
Well, we'd be out there if we had the information and the knowledge that you have. We don't have that.
Yeah, do it. Make a speech and everything, but I don't know how.
Well, okay. Well, bud, thank you for your honesty.
I think I'm being honest, too.
Well, Margaret, you're not being as honest as Bud. Bud, in all of the glory of his ignoramus and completely jacked-up brain, is for all the world showing us, in all of his glory, what an imbecile he is. But you, you're going to hold back. You're going to hide behind the veneer of education when you and Bud have far, far more in common than I have with either one of thou.
Thou, okay.
It's a word that I've...
Well, you may be communicating better with your audience if you drop words like that. We're here with Dr. Ron Tarner. Our number is 855
500-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. I'm told by Bud we can get a phone call in here. Let's go to Jeff, who's talking to us here tonight from Denver, Colorado, which is very, very near, very, very near where you are, Dr. Turner. Jeff, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Dr. Turner, this is Jeff. I wanted to ask the question because I was at your lecture in Colorado Springs 2 weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask the question. You were talking about the future of mankind 100 years in the future if we've had the opportunity to get the tunneling that we want to get done and that we're able to transport that to as close an area here on Earth to the eventual colonization of the moon. And you remember that?
Well, there was a lot I was talking about, but yes.
Okay. Now, the vehicles that we're talking about taking to the moon and eventually honeycombing the undersurface with these.
All right, now hold on for a minute there, Jeff. And you, Dr. Turner, we're going to be back. We have a limited amount of time.
What is that man? Get that man more organized, Bud.
I tried to get him to.
Well, he sounds like he's stumbling and bumbling around.
Yeah, we'll get back to Jeff and with Dr. Turner here talking about this, you know, situation vis-a-vis the North Pole, or maybe not.
I think it's fascinating, but I think you need to have someone on who's got a foot in reality, someone who can speak to these matters, who doesn't sound like he needs to be on medication. This guy you got on the phone, ask this guy. Some of these people should be asked if they're... Forget it. You know, the electroshock.
Electroshock. Please don't.